It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Commanders defensive end Dante Fowler on the show at 6. Make sure you're listening at that time. I am fired up for our guest right now on the hotline. A three-time Super Bowl champion and a three-time executive of the year. Always thoroughly enjoyed seeing him get to work in New England and as many stops around the National Football League, but have really enjoyed his second act now in the media and have wanted to get him on the show for a long time. So it is an honor to talk to Scott Pioli, the longtime terrific general manager and executive in the National Football League here on Grant and Danny. Scott, Grant solo, Danny's out today. You're in D.C. via the radio. How are you?
I'm doing great, Grant. Thanks for having me. I'm okay that Danny's out, man. Let's just do it you and me. Here's the thing. You've been trying to get me. You said I gotta talk to the people at NFL Network and find out why you've been blocked.
That's right.
I'll come
you
on
got
with
to.
You anytime, man.
All right, good. Let's do that. You tell Andrew. Let's make it happen. Let's start making some plays. A lot to get into with you. I think you're the perfect guest in this market for a lot of reasons. But you have experience with a bunch of the most important characters in our football TV show this year. So I want to start with Jaden Daniels. I don't know how many people know this, but you were – what was your role with LSU last year? You worked with him.
So the last several years since Brian Kelly got down to LSU, I've done consulting work for Brian and the LSU football program, and which really has me interfacing with a lot of the players and spending time there, but also getting to spend time with the players. And I did it for BK when he was up at Notre Dame, and I do it for a number of schools. So I got up and close with Jaden. And, you know, with this role, what's really cool about this, Grant, is I get to see these guys as they really are, right? They're not trying to impress me because I'm there to help them. It's not like they're interviewing for the combine. I'm the combine and every other thing, which to me is why Washington Commanders fans, in my opinion, should be really, really excited because this is one of the most spectacular young men I've met and seen come out.
Wow, that's great to hear. I mean, what's amazing to me about Daniels is what he was as a prospect a couple years ago and then what he was on draft day. And you kind of had a behind the scenes last year as he really took flight and became a Heisman Trophy winning performer who had a year in the SEC we'd never seen before. But you mentioned the personality. I mean, what did you make from an eval standpoint of just the growth and the progress he made?
Well, here's the first thing. It's interesting. You go back, you know, after those couple of years at Arizona State, he was just like, yeah, meh. But then he got in there and he got into a program where he was being really developed well. Brian Kelly and his staff, incredible staff down there. So he started to develop. He also began to mature. He kind of grew into his body. But I'll give you a perfect example, Grant. Here's one thing. So I was down there last year. And every Tuesday morning, I'm on Good Morning Football, and I keep myself on Eastern time. They're on Central time in Baton Rouge. So I'm in there early in the morning, and I got to get set up to do my hit on air, which is, you know, like a 10-minute hit. And it's about 5:20, Central Time. And I'm getting ready to put things together, and I see Jaden come walking out of this room, one of the player meeting rooms, with these two dudes that I know aren't coaches. And I'm like, what's going on here? I go, hey, Jaden, what's up? He goes, hey, P, what's going on? We started talking, and he was in there. These two guys were virtual reality experts. And Jaden would go in there on Tuesdays. He had different things set up each day that he would do something with Malik Nabers one day. And he's the one who dragged all of those receivers in with him, Brian Thomas. And he was in there doing virtual reality stuff. And I said to him, I said, come on, man, what is this? You know, what did you learn today? And he looked at me and his eyes got all big. And he goes, you know, I've never played in Starkville before. We're getting ready to play Mississippi State. I know that entire stadium. We spent this morning going through the stadium. I'm going to walk into that place. I know where the play clocks are. I know how deep the sideline is. I know what the fans were. He had all of these things that generally are the things that you don't learn until game day when you show up in a stadium. This young man's attention to detail and care about preparation is off the charts. And to watch him mature – And I know this is a long-winded answer, but that's how excited I am about this guy. Now, when I say that, I hope people manage expectations because it's going to take some time still. But the other thing that I saw was incredible. Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers burst onto the scene last year. And the reason they did was because of the extra time they started taking to learn how to be professionals because Jaden Daniels made them work with him.
Wow. That's a great story. Great information.
Yeah. I'm not doing a very good job of managing expectations for the poor kid.
Well, that's true. Yeah. You hear that story and you're like, oh, I manage expectations? What does that mean?
Yeah.
No, you need to, though. You were at practice last week here. I know for Network. You came through. I saw you and Weish, who we've had Steve on since then.
Steve's the best.
He's a great guy. I've known him for many, many years. One of the all-time good dudes in the media. But I'm curious, like, for me, when I was out there, the first couple times I saw him, it was clear to me, Daniels doesn't just know what's going on with the offense. He's also already got a beat on what's going on with the defense, right? And so I want to see him against the Jets. I want to see him get confused and see things he hasn't seen. But how should we be taking what has been a really dynamic and impressive camp? Like, I think sometimes we make too much out of, oh, he had a really good day, 11-on-11 throwing the football. But, man, I'd rather that than the opposite, right?
You'd rather that than the opposite, but again, I still think, you know, again, I just told that story, but I still think you have to manage expectations. I mean, he's a talented young man. He's a brilliant young man. He's a hardworking young man, an incredible teammate, but he is going to take time. He is not ready-made. You know, when we look back at this league, there's a couple of pretty good players that came into the league and had to play right away, and oh, by the way, it didn't work out, you know, real well at the beginning, and Peyton Manning, and, you know, we can go through the list. And then there's also a list of guys that, you know, get to sit the first year or a couple of years, you know, whether it's Jordan Love or Tom Brady, they get some time. Every person is different. And one of my concerns is how hungry and thirsty the Washington Commanders fan base is and market is and should be. That they're going to have a great player or a very good player if they let it grow. And you see the things happening in camp, and those are good signs. But again, it's going to be real different come the first week of September, and it's live.
Scott Pioli, who's won 3 titles in the National Football League. You see him on NFL Network, which I want to ask you about some of the endeavors you got coming up with Network in a moment as well. Joining us here on Grant and Danny. Now, you also go back with Adam Peters. Peters' earliest days in a front office were as a scout with the Patriots, which was in your department, right?
Yeah. So I met AP back. He was a graduate assistant coach, and he was actually working in recruiting and a little bit of coaching as a graduate assistant at UCLA. You know, he went to JUCO, walked on at UCLA, was there for 2 years, then became a graduate assistant because he wanted to be in football. When I was out there, I met him because he was one of the guys who would help the pro scouts and general managers and whoever would come through. So I was in there. I met him. He kept in touch. He did a great job. You know, when I go in and do schools, when I used to do it, it was important to me to go and evaluate not just all the talent. And that meant players, but maybe future employees. And we're very blessed in some of the guys I bumped into along the way, Brian Flores, you know, Monty Austinfort, AP, Ryan Poles, all of those guys were, you know, had never been in the NFL, Jason Light, and just a group of guys. And AP was a really hard worker. He was smart. He was thoughtful. So after he did a year of a GA, brought him into New England as an entry-level scouting assistant, and he did a great job. And he really worked hard. He worked long hours. He's unassumingly intelligent. One, you know, one of the things about AP is he'll look at you and listen quite a bit, and you may wonder sometimes, but I'm telling you what, he is a smart dude. And I think he does that to, I think he's kind of playing possum to get people, to get other people's guard down.
That listening long enough that you almost have to talk again, right?
Exactly.
That's a good trait, though. I mean, that's...
Yes, it is.
That's cool to hear. Well, they put together a roster that looks nothing like last year's. I think people forget that. I watch nationally and everyone references the record last year and different things about this team, and I'm not saying they're going to be great, but this is a completely different roster. I've never really seen a turnover like this for year one with a new GM and obviously a new head coach and Dan Quinn. You were the assistant GM when he was the head coach in Atlanta, I know, so you know Quinn very well also.
Yes.
But they're going to have over maybe 30 new players this year. I mean, that's unheard of.
Yeah, they've got a ton of new players, and they've got some talent. But here's the other thing I'm going to say about this organization as I've watched it, and I noticed it when I was down there. Dan and Adam have put together a very impressive roster of within the entire football operation, and this is important. Player development in this league is critical. Dan has a big staff, but man, he's got some really good coaches. Everyone talks about, you know, Cliff is a heck of a coach. Cliff Kingsbury, Joe Witt Jr., Larry Izzo is an incredible special teams players, special teams coordinator. And I look at some of the other people that are also on the staff. You know, balance with Cliff is Anthony Lynn. You know, you've got Bobby Engram. You've got Darnell Stapleton. Like I said, on the defense side, Joe Witt Jr., Ken Norton Jr. There's all of these people that are there that understand how to develop football players. Then they also brought in, again, some of the other football operations people they've got in there, like Sarah Hogan, who's the chief of staff with DQ, who was with us in Atlanta. You know, people, again, don't know her. Her maiden name is Gigantino, and she is from the famous football family of Gigantinos that coached for 100 years. Sarah is football through and through. And all of those roles are critical. I watch how AP is surrounding himself with former GMs and not being worried about things that don't matter. He's just surrounding himself with talent. This organization has a bunch of really, really good people in place. And it's going to be interesting, Grant, to watch how they fully develop.
Yeah, it seems like they've got a real shot, which is all, I think, around these parts we've asked for a long time, is have a football operation led by an actual general manager and some people that are empowered. And then you sort out really, to me, it's owner, GM, head coach, quarterback. Everything else is kind of, you know, rotating around that. Those are the solar system pivot points.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll have relationships. You all mentioned another guy who's going to help in the front office part. Is Dave Gardy, who, you know, no one knows unless you've been in the NFL and dealing with the league office for the last couple of three decades. And Gardy, you know, worked in management council. He worked in football operations. He's a lawyer, but he's a football guy, right? His dad was a football coach. He knows football. And I bring that up because, again, when you look at the people that are there, if this ownership gives this group time, I think they're going to do an incredible job of developing players, developing a staff, and I think it's an exciting time again for the Commanders for sure.
Scott Pioli was just out at training camp this past week, NFL Network analyst on G&D. Last one, this is kind of a timely, topical football headline today with Brandon Ayuk's trade. Rumors coming back up. From both perspectives, do you think San Francisco ends up moving him? And then if you were running the Commanders, you know, if you've been many time executive of the year and a GM running your own shop, with a young quarterback, would you be looking to add Ayuk just to add another weapon, or is the price, when if they want a veteran plus picks plus you got to pay him $30 million, is that too steep?
Yeah, again, what matters is the total compensation package, as you mentioned. What is the cost of the contract? What is the cost of the compensation to make the trade? How well do you know the player, right? And again, to me, this is one of the things is we always, you know, a lot of times when we in the media, and I say we because I'm a part of that now, you know, if there's players you don't know and you don't know what their strengths and limitations are and what kind of culture person they are, and what kind of locker room person they are. You know, one thing about DQ that he did a great job of and learned along the way and got better at, I felt, was making sure that he brought in guys that fit his culture and the way he wanted to do things. Whether Brandon, whether Ayuk is a fit culturally or not, I don't know that. And again, because when you bring in a veteran quarterback, I mean, a veteran receiver, or a veteran skilled player to a young quarterback, that can go one of two ways, right? You can come in and have someone come in and want an alpha and be disruptive to the growth and maturation of a quarterback. And I'm not saying that's the case at all. I'm saying I don't know if he's the right fit for them or not. Is he talented enough that could upgrade them and help them? Heck yeah. But again, there's so much more that goes into it. It's not just, you know, I think sometimes people play fantasy football and do just look at just stats. This is a chemistry experiment. And when we went to a Super Bowl in 2016, after the 2016 season with DQ in Atlanta, one of the things that we had done there was an incredible chemistry experiment that worked out really well, where we had this dynamic infusion of veteran players that were the right type of veteran players, some that were near the very end, that really helped our football team.
You mentioned chemistry, which I think is the ironic word, right? Because nobody would know him better than Peters coming from San Fran. It's Daniels' best buddy off the field. They played together at Arizona State. So there's some really interesting ties there, but it doesn't change the fact that if you got to give up picks and a player and $30 million a year, that's a lot.
Yeah, because again, the Commanders and giving up picks, you know, I'm an AP, I think, is similar to me because he learned, under myself and Bill, we love to gather picks, not give them away. And you gather them so you can give them away. Like that draft pick currency is a real thing. And if you're going to give them away, you better be smart. And this is a young football team that they're building, and they're going to need a lot of picks in the future.
Scott, what is NFL Votes? Tell me about the program that you're working with.
No, and thank you. I know I asked you to bring this up. You know, this is a league-wide initiative that is completely, totally, absolutely nonpartisan, and the league has been doing this for a number of years. And really what it is, it's an initiative that isn't supporting any particular candidate or political party, but it focuses really on three key areas for the clubs and the league, which is the three areas of the electoral process of education, registration, and activation. And the league has now made certain things mandatory, and all 32 NFL clubs are already set up and offer to use either their practice facility or their stadium for election-related activities, which include, you know, either voter registration, ballot drop-off, early voting, or election day sites. And I think it's an important thing that we are, you know, this league, I get that we're a business, but we also serve the community. And one of the ways we can serve our community as a league is to give back and to make sure that our democracy is real and that it's safe. So the NFL has partnered with, you know, a group of folks, Rise, Vet the Vote, Rock the Vote, and I Am a Voter. And it's a really cool thing that's going to be building up. They made a big announcement at the beginning of the month, and it's going to continue to build up. And the NFL is going to help us be better at the ballot, I hope.
Admirable effort, and we appreciate you not only spreading the word on that, but breaking down the Commanders with us. Hopefully we will do it again soon. Thanks so much for hopping aboard.
No, Grant, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And tell Danny to quit taking days off.
He's beaching it right now. He's slacking in the middle of the training camp preseason,
Come on. Someone give him a calendar.
Unbelievable.
Thanks, Grant. Appreciate
Thank you,
it,
Scott.
Man.
There's Scott Pioli. You know him from his work with the New England Patriots, winning Super Bowls with Bill Belichick. Of course, was the GM in Kansas City and an AGM in Atlanta with Dan Quinn. But now, when you're that plugged in with Daniels working at LSU last year, hired Peters years ago in New England, and then having worked with Dan Quinn, that's a perspective that I think would be well served to be on the show from time to time. So good to catch up with Scott Pioli. You will hear my conversation with defensive end Dante Fowler coming up at 6 o'clock on Grant and Danny. We're taking you up to 6:15 today. What would a successful season for Jaden Daniels look like this year? I want to get into that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This young man's attention to detail and care about preparation is off the charts. And to watch him mature, and I know this is a long-winded answer, but and that's how excited I am about this guy. Now, when I say that, I hope people manage expectations because it's going to take some time still. But the other thing that I saw was incredible. Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers burst onto the scene last year. And the reason they did was because of the extra time they started taking to learn how to be professionals because Jaden Daniels made them work with him.
Loved hearing all of those stories and anecdotes from Daniels at LSU via Scott Pioli, who worked with Go Tigers, the LSU football program, last year. As we welcome you back on Grant and Danny, I should remind everyone that the exclusive sponsor of this show is the law firm of Kondori and Murat. They're going to guide you and your family in the right direction and help you draft a will if need be. If you need to set up a revocable trust, they can do that. If you've got to create a healthcare power of attorney, they handle those things as well. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys right now at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that me and Danny sent you. And you'll get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Jaden Daniels will start against the Jets on Saturday. We found that out this morning when Dan Quinn met with the media. What should we consider success for him as a rookie? I want to open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines on that. I think it would be short-sighted to go with statistical numbers. Like if he throws for X number of yards or touchdowns, because some of that's out of his control. Maybe the running game's excellent. They lean on that. Maybe he ends up rushing the football more than we anticipate. They're not throwing it as frequently, and so some of the passing statistics are down. Maybe in the red zone, they have a lot of success on the ground. And so there's not as many passing touchdowns, or, you know, maybe they just play lower scoring brand of football. Their defense excels more than we're anticipating. Joe Witt and Dan Quinn fix that side of the ball, and they're trying to win 17-13, really manage the game and be ball controlled. And he's out there making the right decisions, the right reads, being smart, not turning the ball over, but maybe it's not as prolific or dynamic statistically as we anticipate. I think for me, it's going to be more of a feel thing than a numbers thing, but here's how I'm going to define success. At the end of this season, if you are confident that they've got their quarterback of the future, that's a win. I don't know that we've got to make it any more complicated than that. That's how I feel. If at the end of December, I know for sure that Jaden Daniels is the guy, if he could stay healthy, if he could continue to develop, that this is the future, that he is a second contract quarterback here in the nation's capital. I think that is the bar for me. Because if you think about their previous young quarterbacks, most recently their last first round pick, Haskins, there's no way at the end of his first season that you would have been able to say that. He didn't even play until midway through the year, and then it was a real struggle in the stretch run of his first season. Griffin was outstanding and it got derailed. It's not to say that you can't be a fold into years two and three, but that was obviously injury related. There's major complicating factors there. He was unbelievable in 2012, and we had thought that they'd solve the dilemma. But I think for me, the way I'm going to judge success for Daniels is, at year's end, did he show enough? Did he flash enough? Did he put in the type of work that everybody's raving about that you just heard Pioli address and talk about last segment from his LSU days, that you were right in betting on the person because he is a CEO of your company? If you have a quarterback that can play CEO and that is a worker, a studier, lives in the film room, a leader, I don't want to say that the physical stuff beyond that is insignificant, because that would be way overstated. But you've at least got a chance now. It doesn't matter how special you are physically if the other stuff isn't there. And that's where in the past, a couple times over, I've checked out really fast. Because I don't care how big your arm is. Doesn't matter to me how quickly you can progress through reads, how fast your 40 time is, how many plays you're going to make. If you don't put in the work, if you can't grind, if the players in your locker room don't see that you're a guy that they want to go into a game and battle with, you don't have much of a chance. The rest of the stuff eventually isn't going to matter as much. But the reason I'm getting excited about Daniels as we sit here now in August is just the amount of positive things we're hearing about all of the non-football stuff. And then you watch him on the field, and you're not surprised with a Heisman Trophy winner at LSU that he's making all the throws. We haven't even really seen him in a game where you're tackling yet, run away from people and break off a 50, 60-yard run, because those are coming. Watch the tape from Florida. Let's go to Larry, who's in the plate on Grant and Danny. How are you, Larry?
I'm good, Grant and no Danny. How are you?
I am well, sir. Thank you.
I would be remiss in not saying that last segment, Grant, with Fioli was absolutely outstanding. He's at Kiva.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah. I agree with your assessment. At the end of the day, if he finishes healthy, if he has thrown more touchdowns than interceptions, if the team is competitive week in and week out, and we finish at 500, I will be a happy man, Grant. I'm not asking for a lot.
It's funny how low our bar is at this point, isn't it, Larry? You know, we've had so many bad relationships where, like, yeah, if she just comes home and, you know, she's still there, that's good enough for me.
Oh, that's perfect, Grant. Have a good evening.
Thanks for the call, man. It's not going to take a lot, I don't think, to get this fan base behind you when the season starts. If you're Jaden Daniels, because they're so ravenous for it. They have been waiting for so long. and he might be able to finally deliver the goods. I'm glad he mentioned health, by the way. That's something we should hit on here. Because I don't think you can really truly address a successful year one for Jaden without talking about proving some durability. Showing that he could take a shot or two. And maybe more importantly, showing that he could avoid a shot or two. Avoiding contact. Is he going to play the same way he did at LSU? Because that's going to be an issue. I think everyone just says, no, of course not. That was college. This is the pros. You know, guys are bigger. They're faster. They're stronger. They're going to hit you. You'll make the adjustment. Says the person in the town where we've seen a guy unable to make the adjustment. I overtalk about a conversation I had once with Kyle Shanahan. But I remember saying to him, like, how is this possible that at the time it was Robert Griffin, that Robert keeps taking these hits? How come you guys can't coach him out of that? Why can't you do something to get through to alleviate this? And I remember him saying at that time that it's a muscle memory dilemma. It's about the wiring of your competitiveness. Part of what makes you so spectacular that you win the Heisman and go second, Griffin, Daniels, as a dual threat, as a runner that broke the back of Florida, or in Griffin's case, Texas, or whoever it was, is that when you were supposed to go down, you didn't, and your teammates rally around it, and they love it. And it's one of those things where everybody loves it until the time where they don't. But for most people that play quarterback in high school, you stop being able to outrun everybody else. For a really select few, and you see them playing on Saturdays, you're the best athlete on the field on Fridays. Nobody can catch you. But then on Saturdays, for the next, you know, all of the QBs that pass that Friday test, you know, in high school, 90% of them stop being able to outrun everybody in college. They're not the fastest player on the field. And so they've got to make that change on Saturday. I got to get down. I got to avoid this hit. And then of that group, 1%, that's Griffin. That's Daniels. That's some of the great dual threats we've ever seen. That's Lamar. It's Josh Allen. Right? Those guys, they're still able to run and don't have to learn the lesson in college. But you're going to learn the lesson in the National Football League. And so that's a big part of the Daniels season, too. If something fluky or weird happens, you miss a game here or there, or even if it's more than that, that could be devastating and damaging. But it doesn't mean he's not the answer. What I'm talking about, though, is avoiding hits, protecting his body, being able to fall in a way that isn't debilitating. Something Tua Tagovailoa in Miami had to learn. He's taking jiu-jitsu so that he could figure that out. I think that's going to be part of my math equation this year for the Daniels success story. How could it not be when one of the real concerns for people like me, who had him third on my draft board, not second, was his slender frame and the size and the hits he's going to take. So he's going to have to show some durability and strength in that regard. Because if you were to have guaranteed me several months ago that this guy will not be injured and that his size isn't going to be an issue, well, then you probably look at him through a little bit of a different light. Dante Fowler, 20 minutes from now, I think you're going to enjoy my conversation with him. He's pretty cool. And he's very confident that he's going to have a good year for Washington. Thinks he can get back to being a double-digit sack guy in the National Football League like he was with the Rams at one point in time. So you'll hear from him at 6. Next, let's buy or sell some of the headlines from training camp right here on Grant and Danny. We're taking you up to Nats pregame at 6:15 tonight. First pitch at 6:45. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. Jags hung out with me in studio earlier today. If you missed any part of that hang or Scott Pioli, Brian Baldinger on the show today, we had an interview with Jahan Dotson I got at training camp. It'll all be available for you at thefandc.com when I am done. Speaking of interviews from camp, Dante Fowler, defensive end, joining us at 6. He's going to be on the field for all of the key pass rushing situations for the Commanders from week one on. And he'll be on the field against the Jets with his teammates in practice end of this week. And then Saturday at noon, we're doing this thing. Preseason football. I know I'm a nerd, but I get fired up. I love preseason football. In fact, I was looking up the schedule today for other teams' preseason games so I could see some of the rookies that I want to watch play Friday, Sunday, around the NFL. So there's going to be all kinds of action. We'll get you a full schedule of some of the big headliners making their debuts later in the week here on Grant and Danny. Nats, as I said tonight, looking to get even in their series against the San Francisco Giants, continuing a 10-game homestand. James Wood looking to make it 11 straight games on base during the streak, hitting .361. Luis Garcia has also been red hot. He's hitting .429 over his last 9 games. Had a breakout year at second base. More on the Nats before we get out of here. But, producer Darris, I've asked you to put together some of the big headlines from camp. I'm going to go in or out. Am I buying or selling some of the big stories from camp this week? Let's do it.
All right. One of yesterday's headlines was a story on commanders.com about De'Ami Brown being ready to make an impact. Grant, are you buying or selling De'Ami Brown ready to make a leap as a steady contributor for the Commanders?
I'm going to sell this in that I don't think De'Ami Brown is going to get the volume to be a guy week in and week out who's influencing games. Now, if you're asking me, do I think he catches more than 12 balls this year? I do. That would be a career high. Is he going to go for more than a .168, which he had last year? Yes, I do. I think he'll set new career highs in catches and yards. That's probably more like 20 catches for 250, you know, 22 for 200 or whatever, than it is going out and catching 40 balls or something like that. But here's where I always get fooled with De'Ami. He is awesome in practice. He really has consistently, as long as I can remember back to his rookie year in 21, he always flashes in training camp. And I don't think the preseason will be any different. I'm sure he'll go out and grab 4 balls for 59 yards against the Jets, and you'll think we're going somewhere. But then the games start, and it just seems like the production dissipates. Remember, too, usage at receiver is such a big deal. And I sneaky love Alameda Zaccheaus. I think they're going to use him a lot. I think he's going to make the team. They're going to throw him screens. They're going to involve him. He might be their fourth wideout at this point. So if you're incorporating McLaurin, Dotson, McCaffrey's on the roster, Zaccheaus is on the roster, you know, maybe De'Ami starts as a third receiver type, but I just don't know how much opportunity he'll get to really be an impact player. So I'll sell a breakout.
Multiple people who have visited Commanders training camp continue to say that Jaden Daniels is impressing. He looks like the real deal. He is shining like a star. Buy or sell that Daniels is on his way to a monster rookie season, Grant?
I'm buying right now until we hear something negative or see something that isn't great progress. It's all been good. I've been blown away by pretty much everything that has been reported that I've seen. There is a possibility that they just have their act together in messaging more than any staff has previously. And it's all positive incessantly, and you're not hearing any of the rumblings of, he doesn't do this well, or this has been an issue, or this is something we have to clean up, because maybe they're just not airing any of that laundry out. But I will say, when you go to practice and you watch him, he looks comfortable. I am waiting to really get truly jacked up until I see him against another team. And it doesn't mean the Jets in the preseason in one drive. Like this practice, I wish I was going to be in New York, because I think 90 minutes of watching him go 11-on-11 against the Jets is going to be super helpful in figuring out where he's at. But it really doesn't matter if he's ready to go dominate in September. He doesn't need to be. You just need him to be comfortable. You need him to feel confident on the field. And you need him to not hurt you, basically. He doesn't have to be a hero. Let's just make good decisions, get the team in and out of the huddle. I think he'll start the season at that level, and the question is how quickly before he's playing like a really dynamic like playmaker. And I think you're going to start to see him rip off some big-time runs and make some throws down the field. So, yeah, it's hard not to start believing the hype at this point.
The first unofficial depth chart released today, and Emmanuel Forbes was listed as one of the backup cornerbacks on the depth chart. Buy or sell, Emmanuel Forbes won't start against the Bucs week one to begin the season.
Sell. He's been on the field at corner as a starter almost every practice with the first team that I've seen. And in terms of the reporting as well that I've seen. So the whole, he was a second-team depth chart guy. He wasn't with the top two corners. Didn't really make sense to me. I didn't really understand it. But it also doesn't matter. That depth chart that they put out today, just it doesn't matter. How are they using guys and what will they ask someone to do against the Jets versus week one? Two very different things. Grant and Danny here on The Fan going through these storylines coming out of Ashburn and whether I'm in or out.
Speaking of the depth chart, Brandon Coleman, our third-round pick, was listed as the first-team left tackle, even though Cornelius Lucas has still been getting reps with the ones. Buy or sell, Brandon Coleman makes more starts at left tackle than Lucas in 2024.
All the way in. Buying. I will go this far, too. Yes, he'll get more starts than Cornelius Lucas. I think he starts in week one. And I think if he's healthy, he starts 17 times. Brandon Coleman's going to be their starter. He looks the part. He is huge. He's got a guard body with tackle length. And when he locks in on you with those arms, you don't get away. I think he moves well. In fact, after I interviewed Fowler, you'll hear the interview coming up top of the hour, I was just asking him about the tackles, and he had really, really nice things to say about Coleman. It's funny because I brought up Coleman, and he's like, what number is he? Who? And I'm like, the rookie, Brandon Coleman. He's like, which one is he? And I'm like, number 74. He's like, oh, that dude. Like, he's so locked in on the defensive part of it that I had to, like, decipher with a number which tackle. And he's like, yeah, he's really, really good. He's like, for a rookie, he knows what he's doing. And then he went on to give him some more compliments. But you'll hear that next right here on Grant and Danny at the top of the hour on The Fan. We're taking you up to Nats pregame at 6:15 tonight. First pitch at 6:45. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. Jags hung out with me in studio earlier today. If you missed any part of that hang or Scott Pioli, Brian Baldinger on the show today, we had an interview with Jahan Dotson I got at training camp. It'll all be available for you at thefandc.com when I am done. Speaking of interviews from camp, Dante Fowler, defensive end, joining us at 6. He's going to be on the field for all of the key pass rushing situations for the Commanders from week one on. And he'll be on the field against the Jets with his teammates in practice end of this week. And then Saturday at noon, we're doing this thing. Preseason football. I know I'm a nerd, but I get fired up. I love preseason football. In fact, I was looking up the schedule today for other teams' preseason games so I could see some of the rookies that I want to watch play Friday, Sunday, around the NFL. So there's going to be all kinds of action. We'll get you a full schedule of some of the big headliners making their debuts later in the week here on Grant and Danny. Nats, as I said tonight, looking to get even in their series against the San Francisco Giants, continuing a 10-game homestand. James Wood looking to make it 11 straight games on base during the streak, hitting .361. Luis Garcia has also been red hot. He's hitting .429 over his last 9 games. Had a breakout year at second base. More on the Nats before we get out of here. But, producer Darris, I've asked you to put together some of the big headlines from camp. I'm going to go in or out. Am I buying or selling some of the big stories from camp this week? Let's do it.
All right, one of yesterday's headlines was a story on Commanders.com about De'Ami Brown being ready to make an impact. Grant, are you buying or selling De'Ami Brown ready to make a leap as a steady contributor for the Commanders?
I'm going to sell this in that I don't think De'Ami Brown is going to get the volume to be a guy week in and week out who's influencing games. Now, if you're asking me, do I think he catches more than 12 balls this year? I do. That would be a career high. Is he going to go for more than a buck 68, which he had last year? Yes, I do. I think he'll set new career highs in catches and yards. That's probably more like 20 catches for 250, you know, 22 for 200 or whatever, than it is going out and catching 40 balls or something like that. But here's where I always get fooled with Diami. He is awesome in practice. He really has consistently, as long as I can remember back to his rookie year in 21, he always flashes in training camp. And I don't think the preseason will be any different. I'm sure he'll go out and grab four balls for 59 yards against the Jets, and you'll think we're going somewhere. But then the games start, and it just seems like the production dissipates. Remember, too, usage at receiver is such a big deal. And I sneaky love Olamide Zaccheaus. I think they're going to use him a lot. I think he's going to make the team. They're going to throw him screens. They're going to involve him. He might be their fourth wideout at this point. So if you're incorporating McLaurin, Dotson, McCaffrey's on the roster, Zaccheaus is on the roster. You know, maybe Diami starts as a third receiver type, but I just don't know how much opportunity he'll get to really be an impact player. So I'll sell a breakout.
Multiple people who have visited Commanders training camp continue to say that Jaden Daniels is impressing. He looks like the real deal. He is shining like a star. Buy or sell that Daniels is on his way to a monster rookie season, Grant?
I'm buying right now until we hear something negative or see something that isn't great progress. It's all been good. I've been blown away by pretty much everything that has been reported that I've seen. There is a possibility that they just have their act together in messaging more than any staff has previously. And it's all positive incessantly. And you're not hearing any of the rumblings of, he doesn't do this well, or this has been an issue, or this is something we have to clean up. Because maybe they're just not airing any of that laundry out. But I will say, when you go to practice and you watch him, he looks comfortable. I am waiting to really get truly jacked up until I see him against another team. And it doesn't mean the Jets in the preseason in one drive. Like this practice, I wish I was going to be in New York, because I think 90 minutes of watching him go 11-on-11 against the Jets is going to be super helpful in figuring out where he's at. But it really doesn't matter if he's ready to go dominate in September. He doesn't need to be. You just need him to be comfortable. You need him to feel confident on the field. And you need him to not hurt you, basically. He doesn't have to be a hero. Let's just make good decisions, get the team in and out of the huddle. I think he'll start the season at that level. And the question is how quickly before he's playing like a really dynamic, like, playmaker. And I think you're going to start to see him rip off some big-time runs and make some throws down the field. So, yeah, it's hard not to start believing the hype at this point.
The first unofficial depth chart released today, and Emmanuel Forbes was listed as one of the backup cornerbacks on the depth chart. Buy or sell, Emmanuel Forbes won't start against the Bucs week one to begin the season.
Sell. He's been on the field at corner as a starter almost every practice with the first team that I've seen. And in terms of the reporting as well that I've seen. So the whole, he was a second-team depth chart guy. He wasn't with the top two corners. Didn't really make sense to me. I didn't really understand it. But it also doesn't matter. That depth chart that they put out today, just it doesn't matter. How are they using guys, and what will they ask someone to do against the Jets versus week one? Two very different things. Grant and Danny here on The Fan going through these storylines coming out of Ashburn and whether I'm in or out.
Speaking of the depth chart, Brandon Coleman, our third-round pick, was listed as the first-team left tackle, even though Cornelius Lucas has still been getting reps with the ones. Buy or sell, Brandon Coleman makes more starts at left tackle than Lucas in 2024.
All the way in. Buying. I will go this far, too. Yes, he'll get more starts than Cornelius Lucas. I think he starts in week one. And I think if he's healthy, he starts 17 times. Brandon Coleman's going to be their starter. He looks the part. He is huge. He's got a guard body with tackle length. And when he locks in on you with those arms, you don't get away. I think he moves well. In fact, after I interviewed Fowler, you'll hear the interview coming up top of the hour, I was just asking him about the tackles, and he had really, really nice things to say about Coleman. It's funny because I brought up Coleman, and he's like, what number is he? Who? And I'm like, the rookie, Brandon Coleman. He's like, which one is he? And I'm like, number 74. He's like, oh, that dude. Like, he's so locked in on the defensive part of it that I had to, like, decipher with a number which tackle. And he's like, yeah, he's really, really good. He's like, for a rookie, he knows what he's doing. And then he went on to give him some more compliments. But you'll hear that next right here on Grant and Danny at the top of the hour on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.